Today on the Voices of Legacy, we're honored to welcome Dr. Marcel Hampton, DC. We'll let you know what that DC stands for in just a moment. Toledo native chiropractor, mother, worship leader, and trailblazer in healthcare and ministry. Raised in her hometown of Toledo, built on faith and compassion and service, Dr. Hampton has carried that legacy forward in all that she's done. Had some challenges, we'll talk about that today, getting on the road to where she is now. Dr. Hampton, good morning.
Good morning.
Tell us a little bit more about yourself.
Well, yes, the DC stands for chiropractic, doctor of chiropractic, and so yes, I am a chiropractor. As of right now, I am currently the only African-American chiropractor in the region in Northwest Ohio. Mm-hmm. I do have a private practice, and it's located inside of my church at 5612 West Bancroft. And yes, I'm a mother.
Now, that's interesting all by itself. So you have a chiropractic office mm-hmm. inside of a church.
Mm-hmm.
So you can get healed, get saved, get slain in the spirit, put the sheet over you, and then you can go ahead and work out that back.
Well, I mean, it's funny. I never really wanted or desired or even thought about having my practice or starting a practice inside of my church at all.
That sounds pretty cool.
But I do see it as a huge blessing now.
In all seriousness, the practice is separate from the church. So
that is correct.
Please don't go to church Sunday thinking you're going to get adjusted.
I'm closed on Sundays.
There you go. There you go. What's the name of your business?
Body Resort.
Oh, that's interesting. That's interesting. What led you into this field?
Well, initially when I went to undergrad, I wanted to be a pediatrician.
Yeah.
But somewhere along the lines, like within my sophomore, junior year in undergrad. So in undergraduate studies, I did a pharmaceutical research internship.
Oh, okay.
And I was able to work with a lot of the rats and things like that in the labs. And we were just kind of trying to make up different medications that was supposed to be kind of put out on the shelf and everything like that. And a lot of times we'll inject some of the rats and then we'll kind of come back and some of them were, I found dead. Some just, they just, look sickly. And so I just kind of started asking questions about that.
In the lab, did they call them rats?
Marsupials? I think they called them more so like mice.
Mice, okay.
Yeah, but they were rats.
That sounds interesting. Wow.
So, you know, just seeing that, it just kind of was a turnoff to wanting to be a part of medicine in that type of way.
Gotcha.
But I did ask questions about it, you know, because I'm little, I didn't know, you know, if that's a regular or what's going on, you know. But I was told to not worry about it. Yeah, and when we get a chance to make up enough of whatever, you know, we're trying to do that works and get it out there, then that's what we're going to do. And so I was at that point, morally, I just said, I don't really care to be a part of the healthcare industry in this type of way.
Wow.
So I was kind of like stuck in the middle of like, okay, well, what now? I have like all these prereqs for pre-med. I still, my passion is still like, I want to be a doctor and I wanted to, ever since I was in fourth grade, I was like, that's what I wanted to do and was trying to figure out what kind of doctor, but I was just like, I just cannot do those prescriptions. So a recruiter by the name of Michael Harris had came to my undergrad and was talking about chiropractic care.
A recruiter from?
From Life University, the chiropractic college I attended.
Awesome.
And down in Jordan, Marietta, Georgia. And
so you have your certificate.
I do.
Yeah, we don't have to look it up.
Okay. But, yeah, so he came and he was talking about chiropractic care and that it was an alternative approach to medicine. They're doctors of your nervous system, which is your brain and your spinal cord. And I'm like, okay, like, that's different because usually when you think about chiropractic, I'm like, oh, just cracking people's backs. And if you're in a car accident, that's the only time you will go. And no, he was like, no, that's not, you know, what it is. There's way, there's a lot more to it.
Wow.
And so he introduced me to different chiropractors and allowed me to shadow their offices. And I just completely fell in love with chiropractic. So every office was different.
Different experience than what you did with the niece.
That's right. Yes.
Oh my goodness. So what attracted you to that in that experience working under other chiropractors? I mean, there had to be something that you really liked about it specifically.
Specifically, not one office was the same.
Hmm.
You are able to, like, everyone's working on the spine. Mm-hmm. There's different techniques that you can utilize to get things accomplished. Mm-hmm. It's non-invasive. It's an alternative approach to health. But I love that there is such variety in it. Like, you can specialize in with pediatrics. You can specialize with sports injury management.
That's what most people think about it, either sports mm-hmm. injuries or maybe if you got in an auto accident or something of that nature.
And there are some practices that solely see those patients only. Mm-hmm. And then there's others that focus on just wellness and, you know,
any
families and things like that. Acupuncture. The list kind of goes on.
Hold on. You be sticking people.
Oh, no, I don't do the acupuncture, but I think it's pretty cool. And I definitely will refer people if I feel they needed it. But,
oh, okay. Yeah. To someone else.
Yeah.
Until you never know. You might learn that, too.
You never know. We're never too old to learn. And, oh, Lord. You know, never stop learning.
Dr. Hampton, you're a very young doctor.
I don't know. I feel like I'm up there.
Oh, boy. So that's interesting. Chiropractic care, and it's in a church,
mm-hmm.
and you grew up in a household. What did your parents do?
Well, my parents were foster parents for over 20 years.
Oh, wow.
My mother, she was a Head Start teacher for EOPA.
Mm-hmm.
She did that, and for 20 years she retired out and
that's gotta
ended
be a
up,
lot of kids.
Yeah, and then she ended up starting her own daycare learning center mm-hmm. and became an entrepreneur.
Mm-hmm.
And my father, he was a chef. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, he was a chef.
So daddy could cook.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Now let me
definitely.
Ask, did the apple fall far from the tree on the cooking?
No.
Oh.
I was the one that always helped assist my dad.
Okay.
We had a large family.
Mm-hmm.
And they always called me my dad's happy helper.
So you did learn how to cook.
Yeah, yeah, good. Definitely.
Good.
Definitely.
All right. So you get some fried chicken, get your back worked on.
Yeah.
No,
yeah.
You said yeah.
Yep.
No.
Yep. No.
Do you have food at the chiropractor's office?
No.
Oh, okay. Okay, I was just kidding. Oh, my goodness. Man, so that had to be experience too. So your parents had service type of spirit, I guess, that kind of interjected maybe into you, that caused you to want to help people as well?
Well, yeah. I think when I was trying to figure out, like, okay, well, what kind of doctor I want to be, that's what I think I kind of want to do the pediatrics mm-hmm. because my mom and my dad.
That's a calling.
It was all, you know, kids.
Yeah.
But also, too, they ended up adopting 7 children.
Oh, so you got some brothers and sisters out of the foster care.
Yeah, so really it's 4 of us, biologically 4 uh-huh. of us. I have 2 older brothers, I have an older sister, and then it's myself. I'm the baby of the family.
Oh. Okay.
But I have 7 adopted siblings from 3 different families.
Oh, my goodness.
Under me.
Mm-hmm. That
they
is
fostered
a big
over 125 kids.
That's a big family. You all still keep in contact?
Yeah.
For the most part?
Mm-hmm.
That's good.
Yeah. With all the ones that were adopted, yes. Now, all the ones fostered.
Yeah.
But it's been a big, large community.
So how do you think, as we kind of mentioned it, how did that experience affect you? Positively, negatively?
I think both, mm-hmm. okay? On a positive tip, I'll say it showed me that that it's always better to give than to receive.
Mm-hmm.
Like to really stand on that principle.
Yeah.
And that when you do to the least of, you know, the little ones, you've done it unto the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And only what you do for Christ will last. So those things were substantial. And I could see the fruit of my parents' labor with that.
Reverend Dr. Hampton, about to preach. But I would say is definitely so in that experience most of the time. I've never done the foster care thing, but I've dealt with a lot of people that have, and it can be challenging as well.
Excessively. Yeah. It was a lot, you know. It taught me how to, you know, share. There's never a moment where it's just about yourself.
Yeah.
So on the flip side of that, I would say I think for a while I was content with not having any children. You know, I was just like,
how'd that work out?
Well, I don't have children. I do have one child.
Oh, there we go.
But you know, it's, I have a 7-year-old son.
Now, I like the smile when you said that.
Well, I do enjoy motherhood, you know, but it is hard. It's the one of the hardest things I've ever had to do was to really be a good mom.
So at 7, I got to, I guess, moonwalk a little bit backwards. How has raising a son kind of intermingled with everything that you've talked about thus far, your education and the pursuit of healthcare and then chiropractic? How's that all worked out?
Well, okay. So when I first moved back here to Toledo.
You moved away?
Yes, I did.
Okay.
Yep. Well, I went to Kentucky State University for my undergrad. I was there for 5 years.
Okay.
And then moved to Marietta, Georgia for about five, 6 years because I finished my doctorate of chiropractic there, but also, too, I worked for a little bit under a chiropractor down there. Then ended up moving back here to Toledo. And was helping out at my mom's daycare learning center while I was waiting to get my license to practice in Ohio. Within that course of time, my father had ended up getting cancer and he passed within that time as well. But so after my dad passed, it was about 3 years of me being back here. I'm like, okay, well now I'm getting ready to start things with chiropractic, you know. And as I was getting ready to do that, I was gifted the space at the church. And so I got had a table and I'm ready to get going. And then I found out that I was pregnant.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So it was like, well, hold on. This whole business owner thing and everything like that, it was everything had to be put on hold because it's no longer just myself. You know, I have someone depending on me, and this was just different for me.
Yeah.
You know, at the age of, at that time, 32 when I was pregnant, 33 when I had them. But I'm like, okay, this is different. I had to take time to be a mom.
Yeah.
When he turned 9 months, that's when I started to utilize my actual chiropractic license, and I started working for a local chiropractic place. But I only worked part-time because, once again, it's still mommy time.
Yeah.
I only worked a couple of days out the week. And my mom, my sister, you know, sometimes his dad, when he could, would kind of keep my son.
Yeah.
I just kind of, in between that, was able to still work.
Now, that's an amazing journey.
It definitely was different. It was very, very challenging. That's where the part comes in where it's like, okay, you have some sacrifices to make and you have someone else to consider and the things that it's not all about you, because I was able to have all of that time where it was just all about me, you know, when I went off to school and everything and just had to take the time to be a mom. So.
Was there any time in that process you thought you might have to do something else? Like go over Jeep or someplace.
Actually, I did do something. I was tutoring.
Oh. Okay.
Like throughout my pregnancy, I tutored, and then I continued to tutor as well. My sister, she works with a lot of teens in different programs like that, so I was her tutor.
Oh.
And then you know, a lot of the teens and stuff, they loved my son, loved on him, you know, just like you know myself, but. I did that, and then 3 years into working with that chiropractic place, they ended up letting me go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It sounds like a trigger moment.
A big one. A big one, seeing that that was like my major source of income, even though it was just the 2 days out the week. It was pretty rough because at that time I was kind of trying to figure out how to make sure I can maintain and keep the things that I actually had and obtained and still provide for my son.
So you feel like that experience, and I use the word trigger, in not a pejorative but a positive light, was the impetus for you getting started in what you probably should have been doing in the first place?
Yeah, I've definitely felt like a baby bird that got pushed out of a nest.
Did you fly? Like, it sounds like
use your wings. And it's just like, what wings? But yeah, definitely.
Scary.
It was, yeah. I was, it was on April 1st of that year, about 3 years ago, April 1st. And I remember I still have that email, you know, to not come in on that Monday. It was on a Saturday, to not come in on that Monday. So it was just kind of abrupt. And, you know, the reasoning wasn't super clear, but I still could see that email.
So have you sent them a thank you letter yet since you're in practice?
I haven't, but I'm to be honest with you, and not even to try to be funny, but I have thought about going by and thanking them, because it's given me a way, so much more confidence in everything that I do and serving, just serving my purpose, you know.
Well, fate has a way of, and I call it fate, but it's really God. Anyway, making you do. You know,
that's right.
Not necessarily out of desperation. It'll feel like desperation at first.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
But after a while, if you really look at it, and I'm just thinking to myself, looking back on situations like, you know what? I get it now. You can't when you're in it, because you're trying to survive, right?
Trying to survive. I was
got
going
the baby.
Oh my God.
Lord.
Yeah. I was going door to door in the neighborhood stuff
really?
That I probably I had to cleave to what the Lord had already set for me, and what I had to just say, not my will but His will, but also too, not my vision of what I think that things should be or how they should go, but what is the plan that He has for me?
Yeah.
And so I just
so
had to walk
faith
in that.
But works.
That's right.
Not without works.
That's right.
But with
it's
works.
Dead. That's right.
So you went door to door.
I did.
Please tell us about that.
So that was that Saturday. I got that email. So on that Monday, I had made, by Monday, I had made flyers. I had, so I went door to door within the neighborhood of the church.
What?
Yeah.
Okay. Hold on. Go ahead. Hit it up.
Okay.
Hit it up. With your bad self. Had to do a virtual high five.
Yeah. I had to think back to when.
So you didn't waste any time.
I had to hit the ground running, like seriously.
Mm. Wow.
And I did lose some weight too. I had to hit the ground running.
So plus.
But yeah, just letting people know that where I was at. It was just funny because a lot of the neighbors was like, oh, I didn't even know. Like,
that's true.
You know, there's nothing, you know, you're at the church. Like, literally, that's in my backyard. Mm. Like, I would have never thought, you know. And I'm just like, well, yeah, and you can come by and, you know, what type of insurance do you have and things like that. And
that's true, because in this profession, you have continuous business, usually from the same clientele, yes?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
I have patients that I've been seeing, even from the other chiropractic place, they came and found me.
Oh, wow.
So I have patients that I've been seeing for at least about 8 years now,
that's
six,
amazing.
Seven, 8 years. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Wow. So how's it?
And their kid, and if they've had kids, they got their kids in there, you know. But yeah.
Well, how does it feel to come from that place of almost desperation and then annoying to a place now of almost breathing?
Oh my God, it feels great. At that point, back then, the best way I can put it, back then I felt like my head was under the water and I was breathing through a straw.
Oh my goodness.
But today I feel like, okay, I'm still in water, but at least my head is out, you know, and
you,
I can,
swimming.
I can, oh man. Yeah.
Oh my God. What other things do you do?
Other things
that
I do.
Are you active in the church? I'm sorry.
I am. I'm active in my church. I am an ordained deaconess at my church. I still do some tutoring and things like that. I'm not with like an official organization, and just being a mom. I also speak. I do speak at different schools for like their career days. I just not too long ago this school year was able to do a couple of career days, couple of appreciations for teachers.
Well, you know, I'm the chaplain of the Buffalo Soldiers, so we're going to have to kidnap you for
at
least a few of those.
Okay.
We go over to Ella P. Stewart a lot, and prayerfully they stay open. But yeah, that'd be great.
Yeah,
that'd be great.
Definitely.
The story is amazing. It really is. And it's not even over yet.
Yeah.
I think you could relate to people because you don't look too much older than the young lady at the school.
Well, I'm 40, so.
Well, no, I wasn't going to say all that.
Oh, okay.
But since you said it, you look like you're about 25, 22, something
well,
like that.
Thank you. Thank you.
There's no cracking.
That's
no
the
cracking.
Lord. That's the Lord.
Yeah, some of y'all going to get that later. No cracking here. But thank God for that. And you sing.
Yes, I do.
Oh, Lord.
I actually went to Kentucky State University on scholarship to sing with the
choir.
Yeah, the concert choir.
Wow.
At K-State. So that helped get me help pay for my undergraduate studies.
Let me
as
correct
well.
Myself. So you can't sing, you can sing.
A little bit.
Now, anybody that says a little bit and geez, that hard, we know that you can't. So we're going to have to get you to sing. Do you have anything recorded?
Nothing recorded, but I come from a musically inclined family.
Your parents?
My mother, she sings. Mm-hmm. Her father was Clifford Murphy.
Okay.
He was a jazz, they called him a jazz legend in Toledo, Ohio. He was a bass player, but he had about 7 other siblings, and they all either you can sing or you play instruments. Like, we could have a whole marching band.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah, so it's definitely there. My sister sings. My brothers, they play instruments and sing, and yeah. So.
Well, maybe you guys might have a project in the works someplace down the line.
In the Lord's house.
Okay. Well,
that's where we meet. Well,
can't be shame.
But no, yeah. It was funny. My grandfather, with him being passed now, I still remember him, you know, having the Murphy's Place downtown, the jazz club. And it was funny when I became of age. Me and my sister, we was trying to play. We were playing around, but kind of serious. We were like, you know, hey, we called him Big Daddy. So we were like, Big Daddy, when you going to let us come and, you know, come on down and sing? And and he said, y'all not coming down here. He said, yo, you going to sing at church and that's it. He was serious about it. You know, it was like, you can't do that. Not here.
Wow.
Stay in church.
Good advice.
Yeah. So, although when I talk to a lot of people, they have great stories about my grandfather and awesome memories, but I did not get a chance to really experience much of that because he was just like going home.
Wow. Well, thank God. You never know.
Yeah.
So, multifaceted, multi-talented, what would you say to a young person that may be interested in healthcare or even in your field?
I would say that even though you may set out to do, set your mind to do one thing, if you have some things that take you off that path, just consider those as detours and just get back on the path. And so it's not about how quick you can get to it, but it's just about you finishing.
Well,
so just kind of having that tunnel vision.
More of a detour. It was just a redirection.
Yeah.
Didn't end up doing exactly what you wanted to.
No.
But you end up doing exactly what you're supposed to.
That's right.
Yeah. Seemingly.
That's right. Yeah.
You know, speaking for you. So the question of the day, with all that you've experienced thus far, what do you think your legacy is and what would you like for it to be?
Ooh.
And when's the book coming out?
That is a good question. I would say my legacy is just I love to speak on my own little personal analogy of just gathering tools. Like everything that you go through and every situation experience, childhood, whatever, even just where you're at in life, there are tools there for you to use and just put them in your tool bag. Don't dismiss them. You know, you can always, you know, take time to utilize them. You just never know what situation you'll be in, and you can always pull from that. So, I don't know. People can call me the tool bag lady if you want to. You know, just something to, just another thought to leave behind would be maintain tunnel vision. Just, you know.
Stay focused.
No matter what. Yeah. No matter what. Yeah. You know, your success is fitted and tailored to you. And there's no one else that can do it better than you can. what you're set out to do. So it's best for you to focus in on what your purpose is, mm-hmm. and to do it full-fledged, wholeheartedly, and be the best that you can be in it.
I'm going to have to borrow the tool bag analogy.
Yeah.
Sounds absolutely. Sounds like a sermon. You be preaching.
No.
You sound like you're right on the edge.
I love to pray. Mm-hmm. No, nope. I'll leave that to my oldest brother. He's my pastor.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, it is in the family then.
Yeah.
All right. Mm-hmm. That sounds like an awesome legacy. And I think you're in the middle of, and you're still not going back to the book, but in the middle of the book of your life.
Yeah.
It seems that way. Yeah. Well, thank you so much, Dr. Hampton, for joining us for the Voices of Legacy and sharing your story. I think it's going to be an inspiration for many that may be going through, don't know how it's going to turn out, but you're building your tool bag for what's really for you in the future.
Thank you.
And thank you for listening to the Voices of Legacy, where you're writing your legacy every day that you live. Remember to be kind to someone. Thank you for listening to the Voices of Legacy. This is your friend, Pastor Carl Mitchell, the third, your host of this program. We want you to go to wgte.org/legacy to like, share, subscribe, and hear all of our past podcasts and our future podcasts. Be a friend and join with us in the Voices of Legacy, where you're writing your own legacy every day that you live. Have a blessed day.
WGTE. Voices around us.